So amen to that. Okay. It is November 19th. It's Sabbath day. We're in Steps to Christ. And page 78, if you actually have the little booklet. And so, amen and amen. I praise God for all the, everything from the children's study to, everything Eli shared and then Brother Sean. I mean, it was just, it's always a good Sabbath, when we can gather like this all day, because we're here pretty long. I don't think I'm going to be talking for two straight hours, though, or hour and a half. Yeah, it's like 2:22 now, so it'll be, because we need that fellowship time, too, so I'll stop like at maybe 3:30 or something. And that way everybody can just talk with each other in the text chat and stuff like that. Yeah, amen, Brother Anthony. It's like I always say, where else you got to be? It's Sabbath. So what better place to be than, with the Lord and his people. Amen. All right, let me get the, it looks like the volume's kind of low on the, I don't know why it does this. It says level too low. No, it's, I'll just move it up a little bit. I'm assuming it's okay because I can see, it is still kind of low on WTPR. And I don't want to swallow the mic. I don't want it all up in my face. I don't know why it's doing this. Hold on a second. Let me just go to sound and see if it's in control panel that it's doing it. Here it is. Go to the mic. And levels. Yeah, wasn't that low. I'm not putting on the boost, though, because you do that and it just starts overmodulating. So should be a little better now. Yep, looks good. Okay. All right, let me get the Steps to Christ on the screen. Like I said, we're on page 78. If you actually have the book, second paragraph on the page. And I got to tell you, this book, you could read this book 10 times a month. It's a tiny book. But especially like the chapter that, in regards, pages 70 to 72. Oh, okay. Thanks, Fran. And yeah, and Sean, like, I agree, like, if that would make sense if James White had that quote. Because I just noticed your text that you sent me last night in the room here, and I didn't notice it. But, James White saying something about, like, say, someone's quitting smoking. Instead of doing a cold turkey, they're doing it slowly but surely. And that's like slowly quitting being suicidal. So... it's best to go cold turkey and just trust the Lord. Just trust him and for him to help your flesh overcome it. Be, I've heard so many Christians say, I've been delivered. And so that's one way of doing it. All right. So again, we're on the second paragraph, page 78. It says a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. I was just reading this morning in Isaiah 32, and let me go there real quick. I'm going to show you something. Yeah, because let me get the verses, copy the verses. Ooh, that's loud. All right, put it in a room. I'm going to share verses 15 to 20 in Isaiah. I just gave that to Sean in a PM. Sorry about that, Sean. Let me put that in the room now. So now it's in the room. Isaiah 32 verses 15 to 20 says, "Until the Spirit be poured poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. And for those of you that, you know, like to dig in to the prophetic innuendos right there, what I'm seeing here is the wilderness being a fruitful field, of course, being the early rain, you know, and then a fruitful field being counted for a forest, the latter rain, because it comes more abundantly. And in verse 16 says, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and the righteous remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So there, even in the First Testament, you see, you know, like as Paul said, you can have full assurance, but the Vatican and a lot of churches out there, I mean, they even make bumper stickers that say, Christ, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. In other words, they're calling Jesus Christ a liar when he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so you can have full assurance that you are saved and headed home to heaven. Both the First and New Testament say the same thing. And so, so again, through quietness and assurance forever, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Like she just said here, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. And then verse 19 says, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place, you know, plague 7. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. And so, yeah, even though it's like when it hails, like if you read verses 16 to 18, actually, it appears all of that is happening in plague 7. You know, Revelation 16, 21. And even as this happens, God's people are blessed. They're in peace. They're secure. They're at rest. They're under his wing, you know, like it says in the Psalms. So, but yeah, praise his name. Yeah. Yeah. Good point, Sister Vanessa. You know, because I, as a matter of fact, someone emailed me about that this morning, if it's a sin to smoke marijuana. And yeah, it is, because it defiles the body for one thing, and it harms the lungs, and it alters the mind in a state of euphoria, which is totally unnatural. And so three things are against it right there. And I understand there's medicinal properties to it, but you have to, you don't smoke it to get the medicinal properties. You can get the oils out of it, the like CBD and all that stuff. And, but there are people that smoke it and swear by it. You know, like I know a guy that's got, fibromyalgia on his back big time. And, he says the only thing that calms it down, and he gets the weakest marijuana they sell at the marijuana stores, I guess, the pot stores or whatever. And he says it gets rid of the pain and it's gone for hours. But it's the weakest. I says, yeah, but it's messing up your lungs. Why don't you just get some CBD and, you know, and do it that way? And but I think the THC has something to do with that, which can also be medicinal for people with glaucoma. My mom had to take that. She had glaucoma, and so she had to take the THC pills. And it wasn't going to, you know how, like, we've all noticed this, and any of us that used to smoke pot when we were, before we were Christians, we've always noticed that a lot of people, when they smoke it, you could tell they're smoking it even if you don't smell it on them by their eyes, because they start drooping. Their eyes relax. It relaxes the eyes. And so for those with glaucoma, you're getting pressure, you know, a lot of pressure on the optic nerve. And so, yeah, you need the tetrahydrochloride, you know, the THC. And it causes the eyes to get tired or tired looking or whatever. It didn't really do that. Well, my mom wore glasses, so it was kind of hard to tell if she was taking the pills or not. But I do remember her having the, they were prescribed to her, and this was in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s and stuff like that. So, but yeah, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. And even during the plagues of Revelation, you know, a lot of us are concerned about it. And I can understand, you know, like especially during the loud cry and all that, and the latter rain starts falling. A lot are going to be tempted to do, like it says twice in the scriptures, to be scared about a lion in the streets. And we can't. We can't be that way because, well, you're not going to be if you, of course, have the latter rain upon you, because you're going to have an abundance of the Holy Spirit to the point where, you know, you'll have no fear whatsoever. Like even if they were to try to kill you, that wouldn't scare you one bit. I mean, look at Peter when they were going to kill him, or even Paul walking right up to the stump. You know, but Peter says, you know, hang me upside down. And he didn't, they didn't fear death. You know, it's just like all like 500 million Christians that were killed by the Catholic Church. Yeah. And the Catholic, you think they'd have caught that one, hence the reason they went into dungeons. Because every time they were killing people in the villages and stuff like that, they would kill one vocal Christian, and then 10 more would pop up. Because people are affected by someone singing hymns while they're on fire, like John Huss did. And, you know, and because I remember when I was seeking Christ, I never told anybody, you know, Mr. Macho, I didn't want to be, well, I don't know why. Well, I didn't actually think it was anything to be with machismo, losing it. Because I had no problem being religious before I was a Christian. And I say that because the term religious, especially in the way that Paul defines it, is the way I define it with Roman Catholics. They're not religious, even though that's the word they use. It's called superstitious. And, you know, like with the genuflecting, the making the sign of the cross on their bodies, which is an upside-down sign, by the way. They don't even realize they're making an upside-down cross on their bodies. When they make that, you know, they go left shoulder, right shoulder, forehead, and then the middle of the chest. That's an upside. I got a video, and I draw the lines and everything and show, look, you're doing an upside-down cross on your body. But, you know, stuff like that, and then putting the death cards all over the door, like or over their fridge or something like that, you know, and then carrying around. I used to do this, you know, like relics. I had a relic from a quote-unquote saint, but a saint in Catholicism is all about death. That's why I did that video about Catholic sainthood. What is the biblical definition of a saint is someone who's walking in Christ while they're alive. I mean, you can do it, you know, when we get to heaven, after we resurrect and stuff like that, if we die before Jesus gets here, you're still going to be a saint for eternity. But with Catholicism, you have to die to be a saint. And because that church is all about death, and the reason they're all about death is because they're Satanists. The leaders, the prelates, the cardinals, the bishops, the popes, the nuns, priests, and all that, they're Satanists. For the most part, like the novices, of course, the young ones don't really know what they're into. Just like with the Masons, they don't tell you right off what is going to be happening if you ever make it to the 32nd or 33rd degree. I ain't going to tell you that because it'll scare you away. Says, I want no part of this. I'm a Christian, you know. But you know, once they whittle away at your faith, yeah, when you get to 32nd degree or whatever, you're not going to have any issue at all with denying Christ. And that's what Catholicism's about, you know, with the priesthood and stuff like that. It's a homosexual club too. It's the largest known organized group of pedophiles on the planet, and homosexuals. They even have brothels down the road that are owned by the Vatican that are homosexual brothels, where they just go for a little walk and, you know, spend an afternoon in a brothel, a homosexual one. Well, either way, promiscuity is promiscuity, regardless of what direction they float. And but yeah, this is, you know, like most people today have no idea about the restfulness or the rest in Christ. You know, like they twist the Bible verse even when it comes to Sabbath and say Jesus is their Sabbath, because that's where they rest, and they don't even have any idea what they're saying, but they're echoing that which their quote-unquote preacher said. And so again, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. Nothing gets to you, you know, with the, you know, with the end-time prophecies. It's not, you're not going to be fearful in any of that, especially when the latter rain falls upon you, because, yeah, you stand for... Sister White even goes so far as to say at that time, that some of us won't even have fear of relatives. Many of us, most of us, I would think at this point, are already there. We're, you know, it doesn't matter what mom or dad says. It doesn't matter what my sons and daughters say. It doesn't matter what my siblings say. I'm following Christ. I'm not ashamed of my Jesus. I'm going to go forth and declare him no matter what. But some people have issue in that area, and, you know, they don't want to, you know, kind of like with Adam, you know, they don't want to lose their spouse because they love them so much, and so they're going to kind of keep their Christianity on the down low and not offend their spouse. And I've seen marriages get ruined like that, to the point where the anti-Christian spouse leaves. But then the Christian spouse finally gets to a point where it says, okay, nothing's holding me back now. They're going to go forth and embrace Christ. But the days are coming that even if they're still married to that person, they're going to lose all sorts of fear of their spouse or relatives or whatever, they're going to go forth. So again, a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. There may be no ecstasy of feeling, but there should be an abiding, peaceful trust. Your hope is not in yourself. It is in Christ. Now think about that too. And I've talked to Christ about, you know, the Lord about this many times in prayer, and the Father, obviously, because I always talk to the Father first, because that's how Jesus taught and taught us how to pray, you know, how to pray is to talk to the Father. And I don't see anything wrong with talking to Jesus either. Sister White did it, as a matter of fact. So, you know, I don't see any problem with that either. I just have been doing this since a little kid, talking to the Father. It's a habit I can't break, and I don't see any reason to break it. You know, it doesn't matter. I do on occasion speak to Christ. I've told him time and time again, he knows me better than I do. Because, and that's what always, these kind of questions, you know, like where you get the confirmation to the answer to the question from him, be it a yes or a no. Because I remember the very first time one of my children got bad sick. I shook my fist at the ceiling like I was Mr. Tough Guy. Like, you're messing with my daughter? It was my oldest at the time. And she went into hallucinations because her fever was so high. We were on the way to the ER. And I just shook my fist at the ceiling. And then I became a Christian not long after that. And then I wondered, what would happen? I don't know me. I don't know what I would do. How close am I getting to Christ? That's what we all got to ask our questions. We got to take stock in ourselves. And I've been saying that for decades. And I praise God for what he revealed to me recently when I lost my son. And I didn't shake my fist. I cried out to him, of course, and boy, the peace he offered me, and still, to this day, it's very, very peaceful in my heart. I have joy because I know I'm going to see him again. He died on the path. Because he couldn't handle what's coming, obviously. And just the other day, again, found out some stuff that he had done and he was trying to do with his siblings to try to get them to walk with Christ. And that blessed me. But still, the peace was already there. And that is amazing because I thought, what if something bad like that was to happen to one of my kids decades ago, right? Would I shake my fist at the ceiling again? Would I just lose it? Because I've seen people lose it. We've all seen it, I would think. Like, you know, they just give up on Christianity and walk away from it. You know, like that one atheist I saw on the street, you know, he told me, he says, he prayed for a whole 45 minutes for a loved one that was dying, and they died anyway. And he gave up on God. And I tried the best I could to explain to him that maybe dying was the best thing for that person because of today's world, in fact. I mean, look at William Miller. He was headed in a bad direction, so the Lord allowed him to get sick and die. And we'll see him again. Sister White was pretty clear about that. Anyway, she goes on to say there that your weakness is united to your strength, or to his strength, rather. Sorry, big sorry. See, the enemy likes to even throw, you know, confusion in there sometimes and make it look like Fran and I were talking. I don't know, I think I was talking about that in the church family last night, too, about sometimes the word not either appears or is removed from a sentence because the enemy's trying to twist that which you're reading. And just like with here, it says your weakness is united to his strength, and the enemy tried to make it look like your weakness is united to your strength, and that's not true. It's his strength. It's the only way we can make it, and that's why we can be pure. We can definitely be pure. It can be done, and many of us are living proof of that. And so, again, your weakness is united to his strength, your ignorance to his wisdom, your frailty to his endurance, or to his enduring might. So, you are not to look to yourself, not to let the mind dwell on self, but look to Christ. See, that's where a lot of people have issues and a lot of problems. And as a matter of fact, like I was saying before we started, Sean and I were talking about something last night, and he came across a quote, and I didn't see it because I left the room before I got the text, and I noticed the number went up on the top right side of the text chat, and you'll see there's a number up there next to a little chat bubble. And I clicked it, and the last one was a text from Brother Sean in regards to, well, here, I'll read it to you, part of it here. It says, I've got to scroll to the top. It says, He says, I have some interesting thoughts about this. One thought is that, aren't they technically planning to go back to the cigarette? In other words, the question had something to do. Well, I don't even remember what the question was. Not on a diet. I have to go back and look at the other statements he made. Well, I'm getting text here that I never seen. Anyway, maybe he said something in the room, and then I didn't notice it. Okay, now I got... Okay, now it's gone. I don't see this. Yeah, it's 38. It's gone. It disappeared. Boy, does this thing got issues, this text chat. Well, now I'm still in the text. Oh, good. I'm actually in the PM with him, and I didn't get out of it, so there it is again. So it says, one thought is that they aren't actually technically planning to go back to the cigarette, just less and less each time until they finally drop it completely. I might be mistaken, but I think I recall James White saying something about slowly quitting being suicidal. But he has to refine the quote. And so if you find it, brother, like I said earlier, please send it to me. Because I'd like to, because some people need to hear that. They don't understand. You can do the cold turkey thing. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm going to quit drinking, but I'm only going to drink wine, let's say. Or and then when you start drinking wine, it says, okay, I'm going to quit drinking the wine too, but I'm just going to have a glass a night or something like that. No. You're not giving up. Either Christ is real to you or he's not. And so if you're, you know, going to keep, like cigarettes, for example, and I praise God the way he took them away from me, but I did the foot dragging thing. You know, I tried for, which was weird too, because years before I quit smoking cold turkey, just gave it up before I was a Christian, just stopped. You know, because I only smoked half a pack a day anyway, unless I was shooting pole. And so I just gave it up. And all of a sudden I went back to smoking like a complete idiot. And then I couldn't quit. And so I asked the Lord to make them taste like garbage, and he did. But I would still smoke. And then all of a sudden I heard that still small voice, as I told you all about. And he asked me, would you give them up for me? And then, bam, I was a non-smoker instantly. Because I said yes. That's the thing. Quit. Be it cigarettes, alcohol, whatever it is, just quit. Because the cold turkey thing, is the only way to quit drinking or quit smoking or whatever your demon in the closet is. You know, we all have our skeletons, if you will, in the closet. Slowly telling someone you're going to slowly quit smoking or slowly quit drinking is not, you're showing no faith in Christ. Christ isn't real to you at all. Because if Christ was real, you would just say, okay, I've had enough. Bam, he takes it. He did it for me with the cigarettes. He did it for me with the alcohol. Both, because I didn't know at first alcohol was bad until all of a sudden he revealed it to me, and then bam, I never had another drop. I even had a friend call me one time telling me or asking me, what do you do for fun? Because him and I were drinking buddies. I says, there's a lot of fun things you could do as a Christian. Reading scripture for one thing, because if that's exciting to me, because I... especially the way he opens it, the way the Lord opens up the word and gives you the inside information in regards to what's... Because I love the prophetic innuendo. I don't want just the hardcore prophecies. That's 33% of the Bible. I would like to have all the prophetic innuendo. I want to start studying the word a lot deeper now than to have to wait until I get to heaven to do it. You know, because we're going to continue to study the word for eternity. And it's exciting, especially if you quit TV, cold turkey. Give up all the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up, special effects movies. Give it all up, all the Hollywood stuff, all the fiction, because fiction's like pork. You know how bacon tastes great, but it's the worst thing in the world you could be eating? Think about it, it tastes great, you know? Same thing with fiction and the Hollywood, the special effects and all whatever they do in the movies. Oh, it's exciting, right? Or even the novels. I never got into that, but I know people just can't put books down. My mom was like that. 9 books a week. I couldn't believe it. But I praise God for that in a way, because she didn't know how to drive. So I had to drive her to the library, and because my dad was always at work. And so I would drive her to the library, and she'd be in there 2-3 hours inside, you know. Once I got rid of reading all the comic books and the, you know, scientific stuff, I did research because, I don't know, it was exciting to me, you know. And so it allowed for me to find make it easier for me, of course, when it got to eschatology, because I think everybody in this church family should be doing studies of eschatology. Even the kids. Every single solitary one of us in this church need to be eschatologically minded. And what does that mean? The study of eschatology is to study the prophecies. You want to start in Daniel, by the way, because he's got a ton of dated prophecies. Because the eschatology means you study up the prophecy and then you find it in historic record. And so you go, you match the prophecies in the Bible to things that actually happened in history. Not easy to do today because not a lot of people go to libraries and take out reference books, even though you can't leave the library with the reference book. But you can sit in the library, and these things are huge, like encyclopedias and big and fat. You can kill somebody with them. They're a good doorstop. I mean, they're big, big books. And you can go in there, and they got old, like the fish tapes, you know, the fish film, they used to call it. It looked like a computer, but it was just a projector. And the librarian would give you a little tiny piece of film, and it has a bunch of black dots all over it. That's all it looks like to the human eye. And then you put it into this machine, and it zooms in on one of the black dots, and you're reading an entire newspaper from the 1910, you know, the year 1910. That's before they started editing stuff. Like now you go on the Internet, if you can't find a good archive that has safe historic referencing, it's kind of like today. Hence the reason I put my head down in the 70s when I was in history class, because I thought what she's teaching from those books doesn't match what I read when I was a kid. They changed the history books. And today, it's a joke. The kids are indoctrinated. This is why they're trying to pass laws for 16-year-olds. Because they've gotten these kids to believe, you know, hence the reason for the CRT and all the other crazy things that they do in the schools. Transgenderism and identity and all, you know, the homosexuality. Because the parents don't have the time to homeschool the kids, which they should make time for that. Fran and I did. It's difficult, but hey, how much do you love your kids? And because they're indoctrinating. We just found out the other day from Brother Bob here that in our county, they're teaching CRT and all this homosexual stuff in the out here in farmland. I'm not going to say the county, but yeah. And you would think this wouldn't come. You would think it would just be the big cities, right? But no. But yeah, I just found out the other day when I finally had a chance to meet Brother Bob. So again, so you're not to look to yourself, not to let mind dwell on self, but look to Christ. Okay, getting back to that, in other words. but again, eschatology, please. Everybody just, you know, you never know. You might be gifted in that area, and then the Lord will use you in a mighty way to help others see things that need to be seen, you know. And if you want some cheat sheets, I got over 16,000 pages on my website. If you need, you know, especially when it comes to defining the symbols, I got a page on the website. It's all about the book of Revelation. Every symbol is defined using Scripture. Not only do I show you the Scripture where the definition resides, I underline the definition. So it's very easy to study the prophecies now with that part done for you, right? Because I'm not the one that wrote the Bible, so you can't say, well, I don't want to rely on you. No, you're not. You're relying on Scripture because, again, I didn't write the Bible. I just show you the Scripture. That's kind of like the way we do the baptism studies or even the membership studies. It's more or less the same thing. It's an open book test. The question is asked. The answer is given. But the answer is given in a Bible verse location. You have to go to a Bible to get the answer. That's how it works in the SDR movement. Because that's what it's about. You got to embrace Christ. It's all about Christ. You can't look to self. You got to look to Christ. And he's the only one that's going to help you here. So she goes on to say that, let mind dwell upon his love, upon the beauty, the perfection of his character. Christ in his self-denial, Christ in his humiliation, Christ in his purity and holiness, Christ in his matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. Now think about that. How many of us would let them hang us on a cross without yelling and screaming? You know, that's a mighty task. I mean, and the way they hung him on the cross, you know, it wasn't just nailing him to it, obviously. It was very humiliating what they would do to the people then on those crosses. And it would usually take days to die, but he was already half dead by the time they got him up there. But that is matchless love. And so this is the meekness point that we got to get to. I think Sister Mindy was bringing this up, or was it Sister Janisa? I don't remember. In the children's story earlier, but the Moses being the meekest man ever lived. And that guy was a murderer in his early 40s, right? Well, in his early 30s. Or late 30s, actually, yeah. Because he killed that guy. Well, I think he was right on 40. That's right, because he went out into the desert for 40 years and learned how to be meek. So that by the time he got to that point, then he saw the burning bush. But we got to get there. Every little particle, like we were talking about that last night, and it's 192 times that word particle comes up in Sister White's writing, so I got to figure out where I saw it. I was reading it, and it was kind of like we have to get to a point where we overcome in every single solitary, minuscule area in our lives, right down to the very particle. You know, and that's why I say, you know, like, that it just can't, you know, we can't slowly walk towards Christ. We have to run towards Him. We can't slowly give this up or give that up. Somebody just pulling a driveway, or probably a bird. Oh yeah, somebody just. Oh, I know who that is. All right, so going on, I'm got the camera pointed at him. So anyway, it says going on. It says it is by loving Him, copying Him, depending wholly upon Him, that you are to be transformed into His likeness. See, this is why you got to study the Bible daily. Why? Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. You want to know about Jesus? Study that Bible, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, and then go into Sister White's writings, because she opens it up even more for you. Like with the in the old days, when Jesus preached, or any of the apostles preached, or Paul preached, all they used was the First Testament. That was it. That's all they had. That was the only Bible available. And then of course, what they wrote down, especially in the epistles, is how it went to 66 books, obviously. And so the New Testament opened up the First Testament to make it look a lot easier to understand. And then Sister White, like the prophecy said in Joel chapter 2, Sister White comes along and she is given, what was it, 2,000 visions? You know, and in detailed descriptions of Scripture, as well as kind of like you're sitting there watching the whole thing and writing it down. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, because most of you are gathered with us on Friday nights, and we're in the prophetic aspect of her writings, you know, because we're in SOP 1 right now on Friday nights. So, you know, and boy, you don't want to miss that, brothers and sisters. Those of you that can't make it or didn't know about Friday nights, you need to be there, because we're going and discussing and finding out everything that we're headed towards, all the stuff we're going to be dealing with, and has already started, in fact. Hence the reason they keep changing her books. But we got the originals, and so we're okay there. And if you don't have any of the originals, just go to vbates.com. That's Victor, B-A-T-E-S. You know, just don't put Victor, but his name was Vern. So V-B-A-T-E-S, vbates.com. Or Echoes from the Past. Look up Echoes from the Past on Google or someplace, and you'll find it. And so, again, she goes on to say that it is by loving Him, copying Him, depending wholly upon Him, that you are to be transformed into His likeness. And so, unless you don't want the latter rain, put the Bible down. Because if you want the latter rain, if you want to go forth in a loud cry, you got to do it in the meekness, gentleness, and loving. You got to emulate Christ in right down to the particles. And the only way to do that is to study Scripture daily. And you don't have to study for 10, 15 hours. You know, you could just do it for, you know, like a half an hour, an hour. And you don't have to do a whole chapter. You can do two or three verses. Like when I did the Revelation study, I did my regular studies first, of course. And then I did verse by verse in Revelation. But there were times that 3 days I would be in one verse, because it took me 3 days to find every single symbol in all the other books of the Bible in that verse. So the Lord he's not a rigid taskmaster where He's going to come and slap your wrist if you don't read two chapters every day. he wants you to get as much truth as you can. So don't go to verse 2 until you know what verse 1 said. And if it takes you all day or 3 days to figure out what those two verses said, well, then so be it. Then he knows you're serious, and then he's going to open it up even more. And then you'll be transformed into his likeness, because once you study his word, yeah, it just, you naturally start to act. I mean, you know, seriously, that's why Peter cursed. Remember when the little damsel came up to him the third time and literally said that, yeah, I know, you hang with Jesus, right? And he started swearing because everybody knew, anybody that hung with Jesus Christ back then 2,000 years ago, they had a meekness about them, a gentleness of speech. Because I guess everybody had, like, the, you know, bad language back then, just like today. I mean, it's just some of the words they say on regular television, and I haven't seen TV in decades now. We haven't had a TV in decades. But I do know that, for example, they won't let you say certain swear words on TV, but they'll let you take Jesus Christ's name in vain as if you're doing a swear word. It's just ridiculous. It's today's world. But it was like that 2,000 years ago, I'm sure, right? And so Peter had to swear because he was transformed into the likeness of Christ without even realizing it. Because that young girl says, your speech gives you away, like in today's language. Your speech bereath thee, is what she said. Yeah. So going on, she says that Jesus says, abide in me. These words convey the idea of rest, stability, confidence. Again, he invites, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And see, a lot of people like to take that and twist it all out. Oh, that's the Sabbath. Jesus is now my Sabbath. That is not what the Bible says at all. As a matter of fact, I got a whole video called, Is Jesus the Sabbath? No, he's your Savior. But people want to twist it around to make it look that way so they can say, yeah, I can pick any day of the week that I'm going to choose as Sabbath. Really, how well would I would have worked out had there been 7 trees in the Garden of Eden and the Lord said, you can't eat from the fruit of this one tree. But then Adam and Eve says, okay, well, I kind of like what's on that tree, so I'm going to go ahead and eat what's on that tree anyway, but then I won't eat from over there on tree 3. Because he said don't eat tree 7, it doesn't matter. I'm figuring he meant I can't eat one of the 7 trees. No, he specifically pointed at one of the trees. And, you know, the tree of good and evil, not good and evil. Well, same thing with the Sabbath. They can't go out there and say that it means the seventh day is any day of the week. It literally says, come on already. It literally says the seventh day. And they said, well, how do you know the Sabbath is still the seventh? Well, yeah, they changed the calendars, but they couldn't change the course of the week. The Lord wouldn't allow it, even when they tried to, I think it was it, oh man, 1382 or something. I got a page on the website about it. Hold on, let me get there real quick. I'll show you the times and law things. I think it's in the Catholic Exposed area. Times and laws, Catholic doctrine. Let me show you something here. No, I'll just go into the Sabbath area because I know it's in here. Changing times and laws. Okay. This is this page on the website, for those of you that are on WTPR, is remnantofgod.org/RomeAdmits.htm. I should have made it change in the laws or whatever, but it just says Rome Admits, all one word. And then if you scroll down, you'll see a calendar. I don't know why it's coming up dark. I think it's because of my... And this stuff is actually from these Catholic... documents from, well, this one here is from 1893, before they edited stuff, right? So, all right, let me get down here. Links on topic. Okay, something's wrong with the this page. I thought it was on here where I had the calendar. I showed the calendar where it was changed. Because it's in the Antichrist section. Yeah, it's bringing me right back here. Passion, little horn, all that stuff, Horror of Babylon. You see, Catholic doctrine. Oh, well. But you'll notice I got way too much on the website. And it's hard for me to even figure it out and remember where stuff is at. because I don't think it's in here. It's, yeah, it's still going to the same place. Why? The calendar is missing. There was a drawing of a calendar, a picture of a calendar. Maybe it's in the prophecy section here with the study tool. Hold on, let me get that out of there. That's annoying. False prophecies, secret rapture, 1,000 years of peace, all that stuff. 7-year trib, it's all bogus. None of it's in the Bible. Well, partially it's in the Bible, but they twisted it to make it look like it meant something else. I don't think it's in 320. I don't think it's in there. False prophecies. Study tools. Man, I don't know why. I can't remember the name of the page. I made 90% of the pages I have on my website are answers to questions and people that are in danger of being pulled off the path. So I do a study, send it to them, and I make a page out of it. And that's how I've always done it. Now, this, a lot of the answers are very tiny, and so, well, not all the time. But that's why I have the FAQ page on the website where you got almost, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of questions. Does anybody know where it's at? Because some people, like when Sister Bonnie was alive, she used to know. She would go right to, she knew exactly where these pages were. Oh, well, it's got to be in the RCC exposed area. Catholic doctor in Rome says Jesus is not needed. Paganism, horrific. Let's see. Oh, man, I think it's the changing times and laws. It has to be in here, but the graphic is missing. I know it's this page. Because there was I had a calendar on here. Articles. Let's see, the page in Russian shows the pictures. Oh, no, it's one of those. I think Sister Vera made that one for me. How about the one that I'll just try one more thing, Daniel. You know, the dream of a king page. Oh, that's in the prophecy section. I got to knock this out of here again. Study tools, dream of a king. There it is. Or even the set of 70 weeks. I'm going to hit dream of a king in a new tab. And then, and then 70 weeks. Not in here. Yeah, there's that 70 AD stuff. Dream of a king. Nope, it's not in here either. All right, I give up. Let's go back to the book. But you'll notice, like, when they changed the calendars, especially in regards to a Gregorian, they one morning you woke up and it was October 10th. And the next day it would be October 14th. So they took 3 or 4 days out of the calendar, but you went to bed, it was Thursday, you woke up, the next day it was Friday, even though they added days. So calendars don't matter in prophecy because it's based on a biblical calendar of 30 months per week, or per day. 30 days per month, sorry. And so what they do there is, but the Lord protected the weekly cycle so that the Sabbath itself could never be anything but the seventh day. I mean, this is the Creator. He's not going to let them mess with stuff like that. Satan can't get permission, although he keeps trying. And so again, come on to me and I will give you rest. The words of the psalmist. Okay. Thanks, Dwayne. Oh, somebody texted me. What's this? This is Brother Severin, I think. Yeah. Yeah, 1582. Thanks, Severin. Yeah, so Brother Severin, he just texted me. It was 1582, and you know, I built a search engine, so I'm gonna use it. I'm just gonna put right here 1582 and see what comes up. Times and laws changed by Rome. Told ya, it's got to be in there. And when you go there, stuff's missing. I got a really old server sitting next to me, and this is one of the original pages, because some of the pages got truncated because the website's too big, and so I kind of had to break them up, and so maybe that caused the problem. Rome admits they changed the Sabbath. Is that here? Yeah, there's the 1582 being mentioned. Yep, it's got to be here. I'll get that old. I don't understand why it's got this bony little stuff here in a Catholic mirror. Like, stuff's missing on the left and right. I'm going to scroll down one last time. Because this... appendix. So I didn't... So that's annoying. The Dies Domini and all that stuff there. Updates. Yeah, something's missing. So I'll look on the server later. I better make a note of this. Thanks again, Severin. Now I don't even know where my little notepad is. There it is. Because I was making notes when I was talking to Sister Mary Beth. All right, let me get my pen, which is behind my tablet, which is being charged. And so I got to put fix times and law page. You know, I'm not saying that page got hacked, because why wouldn't they hack the rest? So I'll definitely be working on that this week. But I have to light up an old server, and I got one sitting right next to me. And I purposely do that. I have many backups, but many of my backups are recent. But for old stuff, I got a server here that's just collecting dust. And I do, you know, because I can go into it. It's still in the network, so I can get into it. But I'll do that later, so it'll be good. It'll be good. So going on, it says, the words of the psalmist expresses the same thought, you know, in regards to giving rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And Isaiah, oh, by the way, the patiently thing. Here's the patience of the saints. Where's that from, everybody? Revelation 14, right? And in other words, this is the, like, Revelation, let me go there real quick. Revelation 14, and I think it's around verse 12. Yeah, it is verse 12. Let me put it in the room. Like, if you read Revelation 14, obviously, when you get to verse 6, verse 6 is the angel number 1, even though it says another angel, because there's an angel that starts this whole thing off. And so that's angel 1, and then angel 2 is Revelation 14:8, and then angel 3 is Revelation 14:9. It talks about what goes on in the world and all that other stuff, and then up to the mark of the beast. And then verse 12, of course, talks about the people that don't get the mark of the beast and why. And it's all just more or less based in that one verse, if you think about it. Let me put it in the room. And the verse is, it says, Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And the patience is a big thing here. You'll see patience. Let me just see. How many times does that word come up in Scripture? Let me just see. I think it comes up quite a bit here. Let's see. 33, 34 times. I thought it would be more than that. But it's all New Testament, you know. I guess it's, I don't think it's patienteth in the First Testament. But yeah, it's all New Testament where you see the word patience. But it's important because a lot of us, especially when we pray, we want our prayers answered yesterday, right? We're all very, very impatient. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. And that's going to be extremely important for the Gideon band. Now, we know it's going to be 15 days. You know, the 1 hour with the beast. We know we're going to be in that extreme time of Jacob's trouble for 15 days. And we know it's going to be very, very, very intense. But at the same time, we'll have perfect peace in our hearts knowing we're saved. Everything's he's coming for us, and he'll be here soon. And but if we can't express and show him that we trust him so much that we'll just wait on him to answer the prayer, then he can't use us in a loud cry. And either we won't make it to heaven, or he'll just allow us to die in some strange way martyrdom, hopefully, because that's a blessing too. And you know, we'll be resurrected later and make it home to heaven anyway. But as Christians, death doesn't scare us either way, so it doesn't really matter. But some of us, myself included, want to go through the plagues, not because of the experience. I really don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to see any of the boils on people. I don't care about that stuff. Just like I don't even want to go and look at the Grand Canyon. Even people go, it's amazing. Yeah, but when I go over there and look at it, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind? Noah's flood. And what's the second thing? Was here because of all the sin. So when I look at the Grand Canyon, I think of sin and the end result and how it literally made a big gaping hole in this planet when all the water assuaged off the northern continent, you know, off our continent. And it just left that gaping hole. They'll say, oh, no, it was the Colorado River. Really? Look at how skinny that river is down there at the bottom. If that river was as wide as the hole in that Grand Canyon, then that Grand Canyon would be a lot bigger than it is now. A lot bigger. It would be probably all the way to the Midwest. So, but, you know, water does displace soil, but only as wide as the river is. So, no, that water, that Colorado River, is what's left of all the water that came off our continent, North American continent, when the Lord started letting the floods, you know, recede on the 10th day of the 10th month. Or was it the first day of the 10th month? I think it's, the first day of the 10th month. All right, so going on, it says, and Isaiah gives the assurance, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Key words here. Well, quietness, it's obvious. We're going to be at rest, peaceful. And strength, that's obvious too. You know, we'll stand firm in Christ. We'll be able to stand without a mediator, those of us that are part of the Gideon Band. So we know what it means to have that strength when we get there. And we're overcoming to get to that point. We got to overcome even in every little particle. So don't try to quit drinking. Just quit. Don't try to quit smoking. Just quit. Don't try to quit porn. Just quit. And then just trust the Lord. He'll take it from there. He'll give you the strength to do the cold turkey thing. And but she says that this rest, and the confidence thing here is what I wanted to touch on, because the confidence thing is, yeah, we've seen his hand move in the past. As a matter of fact, I praise God for praise lists. My own, because I like to keep, it's kind of like a diary. But it's not a diary because I don't do it every day. I used to do it every day, but I got to the point where it says, no, this is, I'm just putting in filler words. I'm going to put, make a praise list that's about the things have, like prayers answered, miracles and stuff, you know, and stuff, you know, that kind of a praise list, rather. And I'm just going through my one that's only digitized right now. I started doing it yesterday when the Sabbath started. Looking through the entire thing with just one word in mind, the word heal. And it's amazing how many things that the Lord has shown us as a church family, and I'm not even a third of the way through this list. And it's huge. I don't know how big it would be if I printed it, but it's private, so I'm not going to be putting it out there because my dreams, everything's in there. And so, going on, she says, and Isaiah gives the assurance in quietness and confidence, which means you can rely on Jesus. We've seen his hand move in the past. He's going to do it again. And then it says, well, he didn't do it right away. Yeah. Okay. Another word, patience. So you have confidence. You know he heard your prayer. Oh, praise his name. This reminds me of what I read in one of my praises the other day about laying hands on someone who had extreme stomach pains. I mean, it was off the chart. And so Fran and I laid hands on this young woman, and the pain disappeared almost instantly. But then about 10, 15 minutes later, it came back. So I went out for a midday prayer and asked the Lord, why did it come back? And he revealed to me the original pain was something that was going to kill the child. It was a disease of some sort. And so when that pain disappeared, it was to let you know the prayer was heard. She was healed. The pain that came back is just diarrhea. And that'll dissipate eventually. And that's exactly what happened, because when I went into the house, that's what I just, you know, they says, oh, yeah, it's just diarrhea. And so we got to have patience. And sometimes, what if the answer is no? Still, you got to have patience. Just, he knows what he's doing. He knows what's best. We ask amiss. She goes on to say that this rest is not found in inactivity either. Huh? Like what Brother Sean was talking about. You know, getting out and her doing it. We're all ordained. As a matter of fact, when I was listening, I actually went out into the living room when I was, you know, because I got to sit here by the computers. And I went out there and I was talking to Francis. Yeah, this is hitting a key note here, because everybody in this church family is ordained to do something for the Lord. It's called the Great Commission. Now, whether it's super duper large stuff or little tiny little stuff, hence the reason he says you are the body of Christ. Some of us are little pinky toes. Some of us are the heads, you know, the leaders of the church. And so, yeah, it we all have to work together. Otherwise, it just ain't going to work. So this rest is not found in inactivity, for in the Savior's invitation, the promise of rest is united with the call to labor. You know, it always reminds me, too, of those two guys that heard a preacher's prophet, if you will, say that the rain was coming because they were in a drought. And so they both went home. They're farmers. One of the guys went out there and started tilling the field. The other guy just sat and waited for the rain. The other guy had the faith that tilled the field. Says, yeah, the rain's coming, so I'm going to get everything ready for that rain. I'm going to till the field, plant the seeds, rain comes, everything's set. But a lot of us will just sit back and wait on the Lord. Show me something to do. No, just get out there and please do something. Even if it is just to hand someone a track, you got to do something, because then the Lord's watching. Okay, you are trying your best. You don't quite know what to do yet, because I haven't told you yet, right? That's what he's saying to your heart. Eventually, he's going to open up your heart, your ears, your eyes, your whatever is going to be needed to open to let you realize that, yeah, this is what I would have you do. Every single solitary one of us have something to do. There's things that you can do that I can't even figure out how you're doing, and there's stuff that I can do that you can't do. But that's how it works for every one of us. She goes on, take my yoke upon you, and ye shall find rest. The heart that rests most fully upon Christ will be most earnest and active in labor for him. When the mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ, the source of strength and life. And brothers and sisters, we need some strength and additional life, the life in Christ. Now more than ever, because think about it, they're already talking about climate change in a religious way. They just had a meeting last Sunday at a fake place they called Mount Sinai, which it really wasn't. We already declared in that one video that I put out too, that ain't nothing happening there. Christ ain't showing up, because none of them are Christians. They're just going to get out there and blaspheme him. I mean, think about this. We knew, we've been saying this for decades, as a Seventh-day Remnant movement, we've been saying for decades that they're going to use climate change, back then they were calling it global warming. They're going to use that to say, all of us are in danger, we have to get religious laws to stop the planet from being destroyed, right? All right? Now, what happened last Sunday. Yeah, it was on the 13th. It was on the Sunday, their fake Sabbath. They all met at that fake, you know, the Mount Sinai that's in the back of your Bible. If you have a Bible with maps and helps, that's the bogus location. That's not really where the real Mount Sinai is, right? So that's where they went, and they did the Ten Commandments of Climate Change and literally made statements in the religious aspect and literally call it a prophetic event, even though they didn't realize it really was prophetic, in fact, but not in a good way, you know. In a bad way. It's happening now, brothers and sisters. Our generation is going to see the second coming. We are that close. These are the final things that are prophesied. There's not a whole bunch after this. No, we're in the 11th hour. There's no 12th hour. And so get out there and do something. Because sooner, real soon, not later, just like some people say, you know, sooner or later. No, soon, Christ is going to move you to step out and, you know, in the loud crying, go forth and proclaim. And you say, well, I don't know how to preach. You don't have to. You trust him. He'll give you the utterance. Remember John 14:26? Even if he can't memorize, I'm living proof. I can't memorize, but he'll give me the verses I need when I need them. Because he promised. We have a God. The rest of the world doesn't. But if we can do our job the right way, if we can do the calling, go forth in duty, a lot more people in the world are going to leave the world. They're going to, not just us, it's going to, that number is going to grow. Hence the reason for the Sunday laws, to try to shut us up. And so she goes on to say, but I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. She says, when the mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ, the source of strength and life. Hence, it is Satan's constant effort to keep the attention diverted from the Savior and thus prevent the union and communion of the soul with Christ. That's why people don't study their Bibles daily, or they'll surface read them. That's why I don't like to use the term read your Bible. I like to use the term study your Bible. Anybody can read a Bible. They're all doing it. They're all out there, you know, these preachers on the pulpit shaking the Bible, the Baptists and all of them, you know, shaking the Bible when they're up there, you know, preaching and they're speaking from the Bible, but they don't understand it at all. Well, I was just watching a guy yesterday who literally, on camera, no less, stated that 1 John 5:7 needs to be removed from the Bible. And he literally said, leaving it in there makes the passage absolutely ridiculous. Those are his words. Okay, I might even do a video on this, because I did a video on this years ago about what did the pioneers believe. It's a booklet these Smyrna people have been putting out saying the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, Jesus isn't a God, right? And this guy had these amazing, they spent a lot of money on this, you know, video graphics, and they did a wonderful job on, you know, in certain aspects of Scripture, right? So I wanted to figure out who these people were. So I did a little research, and I finally found their website. I'm not going to say who they are. And I praise God that on YouTube they have less than 2,200 subscribers, and they're getting next to nothing on views, because the Lord's not going to bless that mess. He's not going to do it. No matter how much money they spend on those videos, he's not going to bless it, praise his name. Because only Satan can bless that. And so they're already on the bad end of things there. But I couldn't believe it. On screen, he literally shows the whole thing, you know, verses 6 to 8 in 1 John 5. But then in verse 7, he grays it out a little bit and says, now, doesn't it flow so much better when you don't have that verse in there? He went on for like a good 30 minutes, though, before that, trying to build up the reasoning as to why he thinks it needs to be removed, which shows a Jesuit fruit. What would Jesus do when he would preach? Someone would ask him a question about, okay, what does this verse mean? He'll give you another verse to explain it. You ask a Jesuit, he'll give you a four-volume set, because he has to build up the lie to the point where, okay, now I get it. Yeah, they gotta totally twist everything up and out of whack, out of reality, so that when the lie is presented, it's believable. I mean, look at the pandemic did. Look at how the lies are working so well for them now. They had to test to see if the people of the world will believe a lie. Everybody knows the vaccine's bogus. Everybody knows. Even the ones that got the vaccine know it, especially the ones that are getting really bad sick now, but from the vaccine. But everybody knows around the world that COVID was a common cold, and you know, there's evidence all over the place. But the thing here is, and the mask, I mean, just looking at what they do when there's a virus, a real virus, they get in a hazmat suit with a breathing canisters on their face. But they're telling everybody on the planet to put on a mask. Why? Because they wanted to see if everybody on the planet would obey something they knew was useless. I mean, just like that one picture I put on the Plandemic page. Check this out. I'm going to show you this on screen for those of you that are on. Let me go to the Plandemic page, and by the way, the Plandemic page doesn't have the password anymore. I decided to take it off. Where is it? Oh, it's Prophecy of Today, all the way to the bottom, near. Okay, you see, I put this on here because when I saw it, I thought, it just made me laugh when I did it, because we all know about the mask. Let me get it off to the side. That's a guy that took a hit on a vape. Then he puts the mask on and exhales. So that's how effective those masks are. But everybody put them on anyway because they told them this will prevent you from getting the virus, which means the elite and the political leaders and the church leaders, obviously, because even Doug Batchelor telling people to, you know, get the vaccine, They're all saying, look, we got them all to believe a lie. Why do they got to get them to believe a lie? Why do they got to get them to stand in line to believe a lie? Because the mark of the beast is the biggest lie ever told. And when the lie is presented, if Satan gets everybody to believe him, they're denying Christ. Because, and he's laughing it up, because he's thinking, look, you can look from Genesis to Revelation, and Sunday is not the Sabbath. It's not there. It's a bold-faced, easy-to-prove lie. But if he can get everybody to follow him instead, that proves they all deny Christ. Hence the reason they get the mark. Even though you're not going to, even though there's no tattoo and a big old rubber stamp on the forehead with three sixes on it, no, the mark is a mark of ownership. And that's what happens to them all when they deny Christ. Look at the mask on the left. This mask here, that is when there's a real virus. And then they put the hazmat suit on. The mask down here, that's mind control. Yeah, that's all it is. Like whoever made this picture, I don't know. And then here, check this out. The hospitals get $13,000 if they diagnose a death by COVID-19. And an additional $39,000 if they use a ventilator. Why? Because the ventilators were actually killing people. Because you don't want to put somebody on a ventilator with lung issues in certain ways. At least that's what some nurses have that are in the faith have told me. All right, so let's go back to the book. It says, she goes on to say here, let me backtrack. Satan's constant effort to keep the attention diverted from the Savior and thus prevent the union and communion of the soul with Christ. Oh, and that's another reason why you don't hear any prophecies. And they're preaching smooth things like secret raptures and seven-year tribs, right? If they don't want them to know what time it is, they're not preaching prophecy for two reasons. Number one, they can't, because the only way to understand prophecy is to obey the God who wrote it. And number two, if they did understand it, it would cause people to leave their churches and embrace Jesus Christ, the real Christ, not the other Jesus that they're out there preaching. And Satan knows that, and so he doesn't want them preaching prophecy, because we're living on a hill of prophecy now. The planet itself is just engulfed in prophecy, prophetic fulfillment, all over the place. She goes on to say that the pleasures of the world, life's cares and perplexities and sorrows, the faults of others, or your own faults and imperfections, to any or all of these, he will seek to divert the mind. That's how Satan does it. And now we even got cell phones in the pockets. You didn't even have that back then now, you know, back then, right? And so now there's a lot of ways to divert people. She goes on, do not be misled by his devices. Many who are really conscientious and who desire to live for God, he too often leads to dwell upon their own faults and weaknesses, and thus by separating them from Christ, he hopes to gain the victory. Now, you remember, like you commit a sin, you feel like you let your father down, and you confess and you repent of it, and then you keep on confessing and repenting. You're trusting Satan more than your father. Your father said, just confess and decide not to do it again. It's gone. He literally puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. So if you keep repeating it, you're believing what Satan said. No, you haven't really been forgiven, is what he's telling you. So you got to keep repeating it. And the reason he wants you to repeat it is because it shows you believe the lie. You don't believe the truth in 1 John 1:9. She goes on. We should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. All this turns the soul away from the source of our strength. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in him. Okay, if he said it, I believe it, that settles it, right? And so if he says I'm forgiven, that's it. If he said he put it in a sea of forgetfulness, it's gone. I'm not going to bring it up anymore, and I'm not even going to let it bother me. If he wants to spank me because I deserve it, because I committed the sin, then I'm okay with that too, because he's my father. He's not going to beat me to death, because I understand. Spare a rod, spoil a child. If you spank the child, they will not die. But then there's people out there that do that. So, oh, look, the Bible's bogus. I just beat my kid to death. No, you spare the rod, you spoil the child, you love. You're not going to beat your child to death if you love them. There's a big difference, but they'll twist it any way they want so as to gain vindication. But it's not going to work for them. We all know that. We know what happens at the end of the 1,000 years. So she says, talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Say with the Apostle Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then she says, rest in God. So whatever he said, just believe it. His promises are real. Whatever Satan says is all lies. It's all lies. All of it eventually gets, hence the reason they got to keep on rewriting new bogus Bibles. They have twisted the real Bible so many times as prophesied that they're making more and more vision. Did you know there's a Queen James version out there for the homosexuals? Yeah, really. Or look at the Quran. How many times have they had to rewrite it? And then they tell the Muslim, especially the new ones, they go, okay, like if you read something from the old Quran, and then the new book says something that literally contradicts the old, you have to believe the newer because it was new enlightenment. Yeah, show me how that happens in Scripture, because it don't, because Isaiah 8:20 is pretty clear. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And so that's how the Bible grew from 5 to 66 books. But the Quran can't do that, because it's man-made. The Vatican got caught. I even got a video all about it. They wrote the Quran. Going on, he is able to keep that. In other words, rest in God, because he is able to keep that which you have committed to him. I mean, eventually, you're going to want to trust him. But if you wait up until you look in a mirror and you see boils on your face, then forget about it. I mean, whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust anyway. And whoever's filthy is going to remain filthy. It's too late then. Either you start trusting him now or you never will. She says, if you will leave yourself in his hands, he will bring you off more than conqueror through him that has loved you. Let's see, when Christ, let me see how much further this has to go. Okay, well, I'm gonna stop it here. On page 80. All right, let me see, page. I mean, I only did two pages. Okay, that happens, though, you know, such is life with Christ. So when Christ took human nature upon him, because now it's 3:33 and we've got fellowship time that we can have before Brother Sean, or I think it's Sean. I think I'm just going to say it's Sean every week until someone steps up and says, no, it's somebody else doing the 4:00. So, because I know Eli does it every now and then too, but, okay, let me just see here. So next time we'll pick it up there. So, if you can all, wait, let me make sure this is good here. That's good. That one's good. Steps to Christ. Okay. All right. Save it. All right. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end with prayer. And then we're going to jump right into fellowship. But I think you all can talk amongst yourselves, no? So I guess, you know, I like the fact that the Lord has blessed me. I haven't lost my voice yet. But then there was something that was happening this week that maybe I'll share it on Testimony Sabbath. Okay, we'll see in regards to that. And a dream. But I mentioned part of the dream last night, but I'm thinking he hasn't given me an entire understanding of it yet, so I'm not going to jump the gun on that. So I'm not going to share that yet. So, but, and it was about the church. And so praise God for it. But again, I haven't gotten a full understanding of it yet. And so please kneel if you can. And by the way, I'll be leaving the stream open. And for those of you on Twitch, yeah, that's what it is. Last week, I guess I didn't realize Brother Sean texted me. And I guess the stream went on blank for, I don't know, maybe a half an hour. And so I apologize for that. But I think it's pretty obvious when someone's watching the stream later, like tomorrow or the next day or something. And they realize it's just dead air for about 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, they must be done. And plus, Sean will close out anyway. They'll know it's being closed out. But Sean, you might want to mention once in a while, says, yeah, okay, we're closing it out. And by the way, if Nicholas doesn't get the text in time, this is going to drag on for a while. So you're going to hear dead air for a while. And that happens on WTPR as well, and I apologize. So, but anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray.